Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news and stuff. I trust you had a great day at church yesterday, Resurrection Sunday, Easter. Oh, a wonderful time was had at the cross in Fort Wayne, and I pray it was the same for you. How many Sunday resurrection services have I attended at 76 years of age? Pretty obvious, right? And a little bit different yesterday, but double the attendance at church as usual. And we got that message out there. Some people raised their hands. They weren't sure of salvation. I said a prayer, and hopefully some followed me in that one, reference to salvation. How about you? Have you ever been saved? Today'd be a great day. Start out this Monday knowing Christ as Savior. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and invite Christ into your life. Why not today? What in the world is going on? This pretty much says it. My entire administration and I have your back. What? The fake president is facing criticism today from religious conservatives. Oh, Donald Trump on the attack for proclaiming yesterday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, as Transgender Day of Visibility. What in the world is that? The Democratic president, fake president, issued the proclamation Friday calling on all Americans in lifting up the lives and the voices of transgender people throughout our nation and to work toward eliminating violence and discrimination based on gender identity. I'm telling you, this guy is so demon-possessed. Biden in 2022 became the first president to issue a formal proclamation recognizing March 31st, originated in 2009, Transgender Day. But in 2024, it overlapped with Easter, Christianity's holiest of celebrations, the biggest day of the year for the most part. Jesus arose. Trump's campaign accused Biden, a Roman Catholic, of being insensitive, really, to Christians. We call on Biden's failing campaign and White House to issue an apology to millions of Christians, Catholics across America, who believe that Easter is one celebration only, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The words of Caroline Leavitt, a Trump campaign press secretary. She assailed what she called Biden administration's year-long assault. Oh, many are using that. Years-long assault on the Christian faith. He banned all Christian symbols at the annual Easter egg hunt at the White House. Oh, my goodness. Biden, his White House, betraying the central tenet of Easter. Well, again, this goofball's betrayed everything and everybody for the last 3 years. What an awful, awful so-called president. Transgender Visibility Day. It is a direct assault on Christianity. Rebranding Resurrection Sunday. My, oh my. A Roman Catholic Cardinal, Wilton Gregory, took a big swipe at the so-called president yesterday, calling him a cafeteria Catholic. Have you ever heard that? I mean, for picking and choosing parts of the faith while ignoring or even contradicting other aspects of his adherence. A lot of Christians do that. I would say that he's very sincere about his faith. Yeah. But like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of that faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts of the cardinal. There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. And you just choose what's attractive to you and which ones you like about the faith. Biden has repeatedly described himself as a devout Catholic who attends church regularly. The White House has also used the term to describe Biden when defending his aggressive pro-choice stance on abortion. CBS News host Edward O'Keefe pressed Gregory further, asking the country's first black cardinal to identify aspects of the faith that seem to be forgotten by Biden. He gave the fake president flack for his stance on abortion, telling the host that while he admires him tremendously, really, he hoped Biden would be more explicit in his personal belief as it relates to life issues instead of somehow manipulating dimensions of the faith for his own political advantage. I would say that there are things, especially in terms of life issues, there are things that he chooses to ignore. Well, yeah, whatever works for Joe, that's what he's going to do. Devout Catholic. What does that mean? What a buffoon. And there's two schools of thought here. Many believe he's the world's worst Catholic who cheapens Irish and Catholic identity. A large majority, proven, of Americans are certainly not convinced that Biden's presentation of himself as a devout Catholic is accurate. Duh. You know, you often hear sports stars, most of them liberals, standing up for this guy, but I like this one. The Orlando Magic star Jonathan Isaac, basketball player, joined in on ripping the so-called president, saying the White House knows exactly what they are doing. They want you to hate. This helps no one and only promotes division in America, he wrote. They know exactly what they're doing. We should be angry, but shouldn't lose the spirit of what Easter means. Don't lose the focus there, because Christ is risen and there is hope for all. Great message, Jonathan. You know, I wonder if this is not the new America in many ways. Let's go down to the Bible Belt. Let's go down to one of my faves, Tennessee. There's a community down there investigating after a trailer full of Bibles. What? Set on fire yesterday. Around 6 o'clock in the morning, Mount Juliet police and the fire department there swiftly responded to a trailer fire located at an intersection that was blocking the entrance of the Global Vision Church down there. Oh, Greg Locke, the church's pastor, said in a statement posted on Facebook that the church's security cameras were able to capture a man reportedly dropping off the trailer before setting it on fire. There was a lady that had driven through the night to get to our church, and she was in the parking lot and was able to get the police there quickly, but it was quite the scene to wake up to on the first morning back from my trip to Israel, said the pastor. The sheriff's office also issued a statement saying they believe the fire was intentionally set. There you go. The evil out there is frightening. I've been saying that quite a bit in my new book, Invisible War of the Saints. It's going to get worse day by day. We'll talk about it in today's devotion. So thankfully, no one was harmed or damaged unto our church. May the Lord touch the heart of that person who did this thing. My, oh my. New America, flood of evil, burn the Bibles. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. Well, the Navy says we're going in the wrong direction, at least some of them. What a shock. According to the newly released budget, the Pentagon wants to slow down America's aircraft carriers. You may be thinking, no carrier, no Maverick. How are we going to miss those thriller movies out there? Here's the fact. Even worse, delaying aircraft carrier courts disaster. That's what they're saying. At a time when their deterrent value is higher than ever, the Navy has a budget plan for new aircraft carriers that can launch drones, carry lasers, face down China. But Biden's budget took out so much money that the whole aircraft carrier plan could just fall apart. I can't remember when I've seen such a policy and a reality mismatch, said one Navy official. Moving two aircraft carriers into place was vital to bottling up Iran and protecting deployed U.S. forces after the Hamas attack on Israel. The first thing Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin did was to send the USS Gerald Ford to combat positions near Lebanon. The next, Dwight D. Eisenhower surged from her home port in Norfolk, Virginia, to add more firepower. It's needed. It's not a time to cut back. It's a time to increase. Sometimes our greatest achievements are the bad things we stop from happening, said Austin. So, what's the deal? I don't know. He's trying to destroy every other area of America. Why wouldn't Biden cut defense. Where is my aircraft carrier? Let's do a reality check here. I was watching some of the NCAA basketball, some of the dialogue that they have at halftime. Charles Barkley and, well, all of them talking. They were did a story on a GoFundMe account for a basketball player. Mom's house burned down. This basketball player is very popular. And so they wanted to raise 50 grand. They raised nearly 400,000. Great story. And everybody was saying, what a wonderful story. We need more positive messages. So much negativity in the world today. Well, why isn't there? I mean, we need good stories. People are they really? God says in the book of Jeremiah that man is, his heart is wicked, desperately wicked. That's mankind. And they're getting younger. What are you talking about, Greg? Three girls, 12 and two 13-year-olds. These girls viciously beat a disabled man and left him for dead in an alley in Washington, D.C. The trio allegedly walked away from that horrific beating in celebration. That's evil. That's demonic. Positive messages, where are they? A 12-year-old, a 13-year-old, arrested. Prosecutors say there's a graphic video of these young girls beating to death 64-year-old Reggie Brown. Oh, yeah, we need positive stories, but if you're going to get anything positive, I guess it would come from the Bible. Jesus saves. Wicked mankind. Sinless Jesus is the answer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My, oh my. 12-year-old, two 13-year-olds. Wicked. Well, I've been ignoring it, but I can't any longer. It is April the 1st. You know what that is. And there is an economic earthquake hitting California today, and it's not an April Fool's joke. And it's not the San Andreas fault. A highly contentious law goes into effect today. Minimum wage at fast food restaurants in that state, $20 per hour. Advocates say the law will raise the living standards of hundreds of thousands of low-paid workers, many who are black and Latino. Critics argue it will lead to higher prices for consumers across the board. It'll cause job losses and force small businesses to close. What do you think? And finally, this is just amazing to me. How many Godzilla King Kong movies have there been? People love watching monsters battle it out on the screen. So Godzilla versus Kong, the new empire, smashed all expectations over the weekend. $80 million in its domestic debut. Oh, I don't know. And finally, when's the last time you sang this one? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Where's my Bible? Life 101 is next. Our lives are filled with all kinds of situations that require discernment today. Sometimes we can be so busy, oh, absolutely, trying to find the will of God and direction for our next step that we take. And people are very cautious. They're taking some really important steps now, right? What's the next step going to be? I don't want to miss the will of God. I want to hear His voice. He's calling us to come to Him and spend some quiet, unhurried time absorbing the truth of His Word. And maybe that's what it's all about. I've been too busy. Most pastors just spend minutes getting ready, especially if you're a bivocational pastor, getting Sunday's message together. Really, slow down, move too fast, stop, listen for God. Listening to the Lord, you can begin applying what you've learned. Only as we put God's word into practice in our lives do we have the senses trained to discern good and evil. That's Hebrews 5:14. The scripture opens your eyes to see all of our experiences from God's perspective so that we can, and we need it today, make wise choices. I thought I would back up just a day today. It was Resurrection Sunday, Easter yesterday, and how was it? I think I had 12 visitors, most of them family. Sure, you expect that, right? I think our church attendance doubled. It's the biggest day of the year. Everybody goes to church on Easter. There's something spiritual about it, even if you're unsaved. I experienced that from the time I was a little boy. I couldn't wait for Easter to get there, going to the First Brethren Church in Roanoke, Indiana. And then, of course, I got saved, and everything has changed now, and I understand the real meaning of the day, Resurrection Sunday. But so I thought I'd reflect a little bit on that. Oh, and then I wanted to share this. So if you've listened to Hello World for very long, you know that I am considered in many ways a rebel, a renegade, trying to cause trouble. That's really not me. I try to avoid trouble, believe it or not. But then again, to each his own. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. You do what the Lord tells you to do, my friend. What does the pastor, leadership of your church, think you should do? I'm just concerned things are not always as they seem. And these are trying times, right? There's an enemy out there, some microscopic level, and Satan is feeding it, wreaking all kinds of havocs in people's hearts and minds and lives here right now. This is a nerve-wracking time. It's going to get worse with every passing 24 hours. You know, in our churches yesterday, we celebrated how, well, Jesus took the sting out of death. You don't have to fear death anymore. That's what your Bible says. After a bee stung a boy one day, his younger brother, oh, just really scared, frightened, that thing's going to get me because of hovering around. And dad said, hey, don't worry. Only one stinger in that bee. And his older brother had already received it. Jesus Christ, your older brother. He's already received it. He's taken the sting out of death. He put it on himself on the cross of Calvary. And Paul would say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Easter hope is not just a pious sentiment. There's ample reasons to believe that Jesus bodily rose from the dead historically. You know that Christianity rests on the historical proclamation that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. I would say that it's virtually impossible to maintain the idea that we can somehow separate religious truths from historical facts in life. And it has to do with the very nature of Christianity. What am I talking about? Christianity is fundamentally dependent on historical truth. In other words, if Jesus is not resurrected from the dead, oh my goodness, then you don't have Christianity at all. But what about the idea promoted by skeptics that perhaps this was just a legend from the ancient world? One man has an interesting take on that.
A guy named Lee Strobel,
former legal affairs editor of the Chicago Times, former atheist, and he received all of his legal training at the Yale Law School. When his wife started going to church, he worked hard to disprove your faith, anyone's faith. He wanted to do that so he could reclaim her, his wife, get her back, and the two could live happily ever after as, well, at best, agnostics. But his quest to disprove Christianity had an unexpected result, I believe will happen to anyone. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. The very thing that he was attempting to falsify came back to bite him. He wrote all of this in his classic book, since made into a motion picture, The Case for Christ. And then he followed that one up with the case for the resurrection. Lee Strobel talking to, oh, he was good too, D. James Kennedy. One very powerful evidence is that we have a report to the resurrection of Jesus Christ that has been dated back by scholars to within just months of the death of Jesus. So what we have is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3, a creed, a report of the early church that says, Jesus died. Jesus died. Why? For our sins. Buried. And the third day he arose from the dead. And then it mentions specific individuals and groups whom he appeared to. Lee Strobel adds in his book that if creed develops so early, the beliefs that make up that creed go back even earlier than that. And probably one of the greatest classical historians who ever lived, A.N. Sherwin White of Oxford, studied the rate at which legends grew up in the ancient world. And he determined that the passage of two generations of time is not even enough for a legend to grow up and wipe out solid core historical truths. With the Christian reports of the resurrection, notes Strobel, We've got a news flash all the way from ancient history. So it's very powerful, a very powerful bit of evidence. And the interesting thing about the resurrection of Jesus is that the earliest skeptics of that event were the disciples themselves, weren't they? I mean, they dropped the ball. He's dead. We're done. No reason to go home. It's all over with. But wait, how these guys changed their minds. They were convinced because Jesus appeared to them over and over again. Then they became so convinced that they went out and became unstoppable in their proclamation of the truth. In some cases, even when it meant that they were going to die for their faith.
Let me interject here. I used this in the service yesterday. Somebody that you perhaps have read or at least heard of, Charles Colson. Oh, yes. I know he said that the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because in Bible times, 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth over the next 40 years, never one time denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They wouldn't have endured that if it were not true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and those guys couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? That, my friend, is absolutely impossible.
As Strobel puts it this way, we have 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating that the conviction of the disciples is that they encountered the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's an avalanche of data, historical data. When you consider most of what we know about ancient history is from 1 or 2 sources, but 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament, I mean, corroborating what the disciples' conviction was, that is a convincing amount of evidence that convinced me that the disciples encountered the resurrected Jesus. It changed their lives. It changed everything about them. We are not going to escape this world, but thank God for Jesus Christ, our elder brother, who took the sting out of death for those who believe in him.
Let me ask you, what would it take to
be able to cancel your faith in Jesus Christ? We'll be able to cancel the real Resurrection Sunday or Easter or any of that. And by the way, I have thousands and thousands of books in my library. I'll take a picture someday and put it on my Facebook page. You know what? Do I need Lee Strobel? Do I need D. James Kennedy? Do I need all these books to prove to me, without a doubt, that Jesus is real and he did this and he... No. None of them. God bless them all. None of it convinces me more than the Bible itself and my belief that started December 31st, 1973. I believe Jesus is alive today. I am saved today. Nuff said. Don't have to prove anything to me. How about you?
And this Monday, let's get her done early. Let's read our Bible. Let's pray. Let's figure out something we can do today to serve mankind. Hanging around other Christians, it's a necessity. And we already know you go to a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, right? Oh, good. We're all set then. And finally, is pastoring work? One guy said that he'd been at it for quite some time, and he didn't think the kids really appreciated his job as they were driving past a Walmart. The guy said, my son spotted a now hiring sign, and he said that I could get a job there. I said, do you think they're looking for a pastor at Walmart? He said, oh, sure. They'll hire anybody, Dad. Oh, why not? That's it, I had to say, for another day. Join me on Facebook, please. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. And that's the way it is. Monday, April the 1st, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless you. Thank you for your time. And you have a fantastic Monday.